Thank you, Jessica, for that song and the message of that song. I want to begin this morning by reading a verse to you from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It's a verse that many of you are familiar with, and I'm sure many others can even quote. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Growing up, many of you probably heard your parents say, or even saw it on television, the phrase, "You can do anything you put your mind to. You can be anything that you want to be." Scripture says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We are more than conquerors in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I have decided at age 60, I'm going to become the greatest athlete in the world. Not the greatest athlete for my age, the greatest athlete in the world. So I'm going to go back and work out basketball some, and pretty much you're not going to be saying LeBron James anymore. Steph Curry, you're going to be saying Joey Phillips. If that doesn't really become something I want to get involved in, I thought I would just become maybe the greatest preacher, the greatest communicator. Now, you've heard preachers that, you know, you might rate them, you know, this one's up here, this one's here, wherever I'm at, but Billy Graham, you're not going to really hear that name much anymore when I get through with my studying and interpretation of Scripture and working on my communication skills. I thought about being an expert physician. Not liking blood or open wounds might be a little bit of a setback to me, but I think I'm, even though I forget some things, I'm still at the age where I can learn. Matter of fact, I have been working on the Rubik's Cube. I told you at the beginning of the month that I was going to solve this publicly. That will not be today. But I have been watching YouTube videos on how to solve this in 30 seconds. I think the world record is under 5 seconds. I'm only 2.5 weeks behind that time. And I've learned to solve the bottom level, most of the second level. I still got to work on the top level, so it's going to be a little bit longer than I thought. But once I put my mind to it, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The last thing I thought about doing was maybe having the highest IQ, the smartest person in the world. And no longer will you say Ken Jennings from Jeopardy, you'll say Joey Phillips from Goodview. It'll be just a difference there. Now, if some of you are thinking, "I believe you can do it," it ain't going to happen. So what's wrong with the verses that I quoted? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you can do anything that you put your mind to, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Either God lied when he gave us those verses, or we misinterpret what they mean. So let me just talk about Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 for just a moment. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We talked about how to study the Bible on Wednesday nights, and one of the things that is very foundational to your study of the Bible is you have to keep a verse in its context. If you take a verse out of its context, you can make it mean something that God never intended for it to mean. Illustration I always use after the service, you hear my wife say, "I'm leaving you." And so you're discouraged and you hate it for me, and it probably happened later than what you thought would happen and all the other things that went on. And the context might have been this: "I need to go see my dad in Hickory, I'm leaving you." But all you heard was, "I'm leaving you." And so you took that to mean, "We're getting a divorce, we're separating." That's not what it was meant at all. And so the same way, we can take a verse of Scripture, and if we take it out of context, we can make it say something that God never intended for it to mean. So if you go back and read Proverbs chapter 3, not 23, not today, but at your time, at your leisure this week, the first couple verses says, let's say you're invited to a rich man's feast or supper. And so you're invited as a dinner guest, and you look and everything you can imagine is on the table. There's filet mignon, there is lobster, there is shrimp cocktail, there's all kinds of wines or Coke in our situation. And all kinds of things that you're just in awe of all this food. and you're thinking, I think I can eat everything on this table. Verse 2 says, put a knife to your throat. But also it says, understand the motive behind you being invited to that meal. He didn't invite you there because you're his best friend. He invited you there because he wants something from you. You understand this if you've been married a few years. Your wife walks into the room and you say, that's a beautiful dress you have on. To which she responds by saying, what do you want? To which you respond, I don't want anything. And she responds, I know you better than that. Well, if a rich man invites you to a table and has all this expensive, luxurious food, more than you could ever eat, caviar and all the dainties of life, baked Alaska and all of that, you need to think something's going on here. And so verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs says, if you're invited to a rich man's house and he has all this before you and says, eat up, there's probably some other ulterior motive behind you being invited to that meal. But when you come down to verses 6 and 7, and the verse we quoted was from verse 7, it's a different situation. You're invited to a home to eat again. But this guy who's invited you, this family, is very stingy. And outwardly they say to you, look, I've got all this delicious food here. We prepared it for just for you. Have all you want. But in his mind, he's saying, I hope you don't eat all that because it cost me a lot of money. And so the guy in verse 6 and 7 is a very stingy individual who is saying one thing, but who means something else. You've met people like that. They're two-faced. They say one thing, but that's not what they mean at all. And so verse 6 and 7 and 8 says, if you find out the guy's true motive, you're going to get sick on your stomach because you thought he was being very nice to you and he's really mad at you because you ate so much food. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He might say one thing, but he's really something else. It's not as important what somebody says, but what they really feel in their heart. That really shows their true character. So that's what that verse means. It doesn't mean that you can be anything you want to be. That's taking it out of context. It's dealing with dinner guests and people with motives that maybe are not as noticeable at the outset. I do want to talk today about your perspective in your life and in your attitudes toward your pain and suffering. We've been talking about that this week or this month, and how do we deal with the challenges that come into our life? Our perspective, our biblical perspective, will help us immensely as we face the suffering and the trials that we can't just get out of our lives. Let me read a verse to you from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in our time of need. I'm going to build upon some of these thoughts in the message today. But in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our grief and whatever we might be going through, we need to find our dependence upon God and not our independence apart from God. He will give us renewed strength. He will give us the ability to go on when we feel like quitting. He will open a door when it seems like all doors are shut. He will give us the ability to deal with suffering and pain and grief that goes on much longer than we ever expected. So in our series this month, we've talked about the fact that whatever you're going through, and we all go through different things and different intensity levels of that suffering or pain or grief, in that we can be sure that God knows what we're going through and He cares about us. We talked about that in the first lesson. We also said that God is always working in our life and in our situation, many times behind the scenes, and we don't even realize it. We think God doesn't care. God's not answering my prayer. God's not doing anything about it. But the reality is He is working in our life, and He is working in our situation. We just can't see it or understand it, or it's not the way that we want or the way that we think. We talked about the fact that God is sovereign. He's in control. And He is going to work all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean things are going to work out the way we want them to or when we want them to, but God is going to work in our life to bring Himself glory, and He wants to draw us closer to Himself. We also talked about the need to be in the Word of God. I mentioned the New Testament journeys, and it's important for us to be in the Word of God on a regular basis, not just when we're suffering. Probably it's more important before we're suffering, so we can build that relationship with Christ, so when the storms of life come, it doesn't completely knock us down. When you read your Bibles, don't read them just for information, but read them for transformation, that God might change your life. You don't want to just have more knowledge about the Bible. You want to be more obedient to His Word in your life to help you grow in your faith. Then last week, we talked about in the entire message last week, the law of the harvest, that we do reap what we sow. And Satan wants to deceive us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the sinful nature of our flesh, that which is in opposition to God, when the harvest comes in, and it may not come in immediately. It may be a couple weeks, a couple months, even a number of years. But be sure your sin will find you out. And when we reap that harvest, it'll be destruction and decay and death. And so that which we think we're getting away with, and it's not a big deal. It is. And the reason we haven't faced ill consequences of our action is the harvest hadn't come in yet. But the same verse goes on to say, but those who sow to the Spirit, meaning obedience to God's will, denying self, for them they will reap God's blessings and life and abundant life and eternal life. And so the Word of God's going to help us. The psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And so learn to rely upon God's word and God's truth, not just for transformation, but for a biblical perspective on your life. Why is there suffering in the world? Another thing we talked about is there's a false notion that many of us have or can have. That if we're living for God and we're doing everything we should do, everything we know to do, nothing bad will happen to us. That's a lie. We live in a cursed world. Go back and read Genesis chapter 3 and look at the curse that had come up on the animal kingdom. There's a curse on the earth. There's a curse on the crops. That's why you have weeds in your garden. There's a curse on humanity. We live in a world that is cursed by sin. Well, where did that come from? Romans says in chapter 5 and verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. We refer to that as the fall. When Adam disobeyed God in taking the fruit, God then banished them from the Garden of Eden. There was a curse upon the animals. Remember, the snake, his legs were taken out. He said, you shall eat of the dust of the ground. There's animals that prey on each other today, which is part of the curse. There's the ground and the earth and everything that's going on. The Bible says the earth itself groans to be the way that God wanted it to be. We're not there yet. And in our life, we're going to face troubles and suffering. Romans chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. And we believers, we also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We are given this hope when we were saved. Paul says, even in our bodies, we groan. Do you groan? When I walk up steps, I go, oh, oh. Sometimes it's outward, sometimes it's inward. Those are minor issues. There are people here in the service today, you know what real pain is. You live with it day in and day out. And you understand what Paul is saying is we groan. We're longing for the day when we're going to see the Lord and we're not going to have to deal with these physical ailments anymore. We're putting up with them now. We're going through them now, but we're looking for that day when we're going to see the Lord. I hear people, sometimes older people, say, you know, most of my friends are in heaven now. I've got more friends over there than I have here as far as close friends. And when the Lord takes me home, I'm ready to go. That's what Paul's saying. Not that we're going to take our life and go to heaven prematurely, but we're longing to get out of this world and these bodies racked with pain and the consequences and the situations that plague us down that we don't understand. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says. For now we see through a glass dimly, but then when we meet the Lord face to face. For now I know in part, but then I will know even as I'm known. We see through a glass dimly. Let me translate that. Lord, why did you let that happen? Lord, why don't you remove this from my life? I don't understand. There can be no good purpose in what I'm going through. And I would say to you, that's seeing through a glass dark dimly. We can't see from God's perspective. All we can see is what we see, and we can't get the clear picture. But we want it so desperately. And that's why we go through our life with the why questions and the doubt questions and the concern questions. But one day, when we're with the Lord, we won't see through a glass dimly. We'll see Him face to face, and we will understand even our life from His perspective. And so Paul said we can't just focus on life here and now. When we see the Lord, He's going to clean up all this mess that we see and see things clearly. I wrote this down. If you choose to focus on your present suffering instead of your future glory, you'll be depressed and doubtful and maybe even given over to destructive action. Are you focusing on what you're going through now only? You have to deal with it. But understand that it's not forever. It might seem like forever, but it's not. Listen to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Now, some of you are going to disagree with that. My problem is not small, and it's gone on for a long time. And that may be true when looking at things from an earthly perspective. Let's just say you have a situation that is hurtful and painful and causes you suffering, and you deal with that for 20 years. Compare 20 years to eternity. That's what Paul was saying. It is hard, and it is difficult now. But compared to eternity, when God's going to make all wrongs right, it is a small problem that won't last very long in comparison. That is the perspective that Paul had. But even these troubles and these trials will produce for us glory that vastly outweighs the problems, and they'll last forever. The glory. So we don't look at our troubles that we see now. we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For things we now see will soon be gone, but the things that we can't see will last forever. There's two issues that we have to do, at least two issues that we have to deal with when it comes to our problems. First of all, there's the problem itself. So you've got physical pain. That's an issue. That's a suffering. That's a difficulty that you're dealing with. You're dealing with emotional abuse. Maybe there was a time in your life when you were physically or verbally or sexually abused, and that has made a difference in your personality and how you relate to people. You're having struggles in your financial stability. There are things that have come into your life and they've taken from you that which you were dependent on. It might have been appliances or health issues. It could be investments that dropped or a number of issues. You may be dealing with the loss of close friends and loved ones that just breaks your heart. Whatever your issue is, that's one part of your suffering. That's one part of your grief and your pain. But a second part is the perspective we have on our suffering. In other words, do we bring trouble in our thinking to our trouble that we're facing? Have you heard the term self-speak? It's a term that's given to people that the talking to ourselves that we all... Do you ever talk to yourself? If you're driving, it's best that you don't move your lips, especially if another car is beside you. But we all talk to ourselves. You know, we think about things and what we should do and how we should handle situations. How do you talk to yourself? What are your thoughts? What are your interpretation about your suffering? It could be, you know, I can't understand why God allowed this. I don't think God loves me. It's not even worth serving God. And we began to doubt. It can lead to depression. Situations, my spouse left me, or my kids grew up in church and now they're not in church anymore. And we're depressed over that, and we just are ready to throw in the towel. Or we say, what's the use? I'm just going to live any way I want to. And we go out and do some things that are harmful to ourselves and to our family and to others. And not only do we have our issues that we're dealing with, our suffering, but the way we look at it, it makes it doubly harmful to us. So, what is the biblical perspective that we ought to have? I think the verse we just looked at in 2 Corinthians, and the idea is scales. And on the one hand, you're going to put your troubles and your suffering and whatever it is that you're dealing with right now. But on the other hand, God is going to use that for eternity to give you an even greater weight of glory. It's going to outweigh it in the long term. I mentioned job situations. I've talked to a number of people through the years in ministry that have lost their jobs and prayed with them. And what I have found in almost every situation is that there is the difficulty. There's not only the loss of the job and the loss of the income, but the uncertainty of the future. But I've had many of those people come back to me a week later or a month later or a few months later and say, you know, God opened up a new job for me and this has worked out better than the other situation. God has put me in a place with a job that I like more or people I like more or greater opportunities for ministry that I never even thought was possible. And as you experience that, God's saying, do you understand a little bit why I let this happen to you? Look how much greater you're magnifying my name and how you're trusting me through that. You see, our problems, whatever they might be, for the Christian, they'll make you better or bitter. They can draw you closer to God. Again, I've had a number of people tell me, you know, if it hadn't have been for that accident, if it hadn't have been for that broken bone, if it hadn't have been for that cancer, I would have never come to Christ. And I would willingly take this for what God's done through it. What a perspective that is on your... That's a whole lot more better than Eeyore. You know Eeyore? He's not in the Bible. He's on Winnie the Pooh. His tail is attached with a nail that keeps coming out, and his tail keeps falling off. Now you go home and watch Winnie the Pooh tonight. Eeyore is the most pessimistic character you can ever imagine. He's the type of person who would say, "Woe is me. Would you please come to my pity party I'm having this weekend?" And you're like, "No, I don't want to be near you." Here's a quote, not from the Bible, but from Eeyore. "Things could be worse. I'm just not sure how they could be." That's the attitude he had. Listen, if you're taking that attitude of life, if in the midst of your suffering, you're adding pain to your pain by your perspective, you need to get in God's Word. You need to look at some of these verses we've talked about today and understand that God wants to bless you and help you and encourage you and use you and glorify Himself as He meets your need. Now, if you haven't picked up one of these papers in the back, I would encourage you to do so today as you leave. I've added some resources there that I hope will be helpful to you. You really need to probably have access to the internet to view some of these. I guess you can go to a music. Do they still have music stores today? And find one. But let me just read some things to you and make a comment on them, and then we'll close. One of the things for me in my life, as I have gone through very small times of suffering, is songs. Songs have a way of ministering to my heart. And the truth of the gospel put to song just helps me trust God more. I don't know why that's happening, but I think God uses music in a great way. And I think Satan uses music in a very destructive way. And I think that's why music is so much a part of our culture today. Kara Jobe has written a song and sings the song, "I Am Not Alone." Some of you may be familiar with that. Meredith Andrews, "Not for a moment." Not for a moment has God forgotten you or left you alone. Not for a moment. Casting Crowns sings, "I will praise you in the storm." Laura Story, some of you are familiar with her, sings the song "Blessings," and how that sometimes the raindrops that come into our life, the difficulties, can bring God's blessings. Babby Mason sings, "Trust His Heart." Refiner's Fire is a song we talked about a couple weeks ago. If you're not familiar with the name Whitley Phipps, one of the greatest voices I've ever heard, he sings "It Is Well with My Soul" live on one of the Gaithers and shares his testimony a little bit about that. Damaris Carbaugh, who I love to listen to, sings "How Deep the Father's Love," and he's been faithful. Christine Wurtson, this will go back a long time, sings the song "The Fire." "I've been through a fire that has deepened my desire." If you go to YouTube, I would encourage you to write out exactly what's here so that you get the video that I'm encouraging you to listen to. In other words, Babby Mason may sing that same song two or three different times, but the particular one is on here. It may not always come up that way, but... I believe those songs will minister to your heart. If you're suffering today, if you're just not sure where to turn, if you just think, "Has God forgotten me?" Let those songs minister to your hearts. Another thing that ministers to me is not only music, but the Word of God. Personal testimonies. I think sometimes, we'll talk about this next week, and next week will be our last message on suffering. The Bible says that God comforts us in our comfort, so that we might be able to comfort others. I've had four or five bouts with kidney stones, and I can remember going to people that have kidney stones and asking them questions, and now I've had people come to me. Nobody knows kidney stones like somebody that's had kidney stones. Nobody knows a heart attack like somebody that's had a heart attack. Nobody knows the death of a child like somebody who's lost a child. No one knows what it's like to lose a job like someone who's lost a job. And many times, God can use our pain and suffering in time to minister to others and comfort them. How did you get through that? Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you some things I thought about. Let me tell you some things I experienced that were very hard for me and how I worked through those. So I put some messages on that deal with pain and suffering. Let me mention these as we close. Hope for those who have lost loved ones. I forgot who that's by. I should have put that on there. John Corson, I'd never heard him speak before, a tremendous communicator. But he talks about five reasons why Christians go through trials. And then he talks about what it was like to lose his son. In the first message, he talks about when his wife passed away and when his daughter was killed. And then a number of years later, he lost his son. Tremendous message. I would encourage you to listen to those. Rick and Kay Warren. Many of you are familiar with Rick Warren. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, that best-selling book a few years ago. Pastor in California at Saddleback Community Church. His son died a few years ago, committed suicide, dealing most of his life with mental illnesses. And this particular video is 1 year after his son had died, and they talk about just very vulnerable on what they've gone through and some things that helped them and some things that didn't help them. I believe you'll be encouraged by that. The next two are by Tony Evans. The first message, he talks about the unexpected loss of his niece and how they were dealing with this. This was at a church service the day after she died. And just an interview with his family on in dealing with that. He did another message, and this just was in January of this year. His wife died in the end of last year. So around New Year's, his wife died, and in January he preached a message talking about the death of his wife. A few months before that, his dad died. You know, troubles sometimes have a way of coming like waves in the ocean. You know, one comes, and then right behind it's another one, and you're like, Lord, please let up a little bit. The second set of topics does not deal with death of a loved one, but other issues that we deal with. If you have been a part of any of our grief share ministries, you may be familiar with the name Paul Tripp. And he talks about the physical suffering that he's gone through and how that he had to deal with the fact that he would never be healthy like he once was again. Good message from Paul Tripp. Adrian Rogers, many of you are familiar with him, passed away a few years ago, does as he always does, an excellent job on talking about why is pain and suffering in the world. Really goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and the curse on the world that we talked about some today. I hope you're familiar with David Ring. David Ring was born with cerebral palsy. He's an evangelist today, travels the world, tremendous speaker, and his life story is in one of the messages. Joni Erickson Todd, I hope you're familiar with her. She was involved in a diving accident when she was a teenager. I think she was 16. She is a quadriplegic. She's been that way since a teenager. She's now in her 60s. She talks a lot about pain and suffering and how she's dealt with, you know, 50 years of pain and suffering and how God has used that in her life. And then another message that I listened to this week, Change the Way You Think About Pain by Rick Warren. Doesn't talk about the death of his son primarily, but how you deal with that. I think it's important to, whether it's the truth of the Word of God or songs or messages that make the Word real in our hearts, if you're going through pain and suffering, listen to some of those songs. Listen to some of those messages. I know they will encourage you, but you got to avail yourself to it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That doesn't mean you can do anything you want to and just say it and it'll happen, name it and claim it. But our perspective on our problems and seeing them from a biblical perspective will help ease some of the suffering of our pain. It may not take our pain away, but it'll help us to realize that God has a purpose. That purpose we may not understand. We're looking at our world and our life through a glass darkly, but one day we'll understand it. And what God's doing in our life through our problems will so outweigh these momentary things that we're dealing with that seems to be crushing us now. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how people have put their thoughts to music or communicated how you've been with them through their suffering. I pray that we might avail ourselves to some of these resources that maybe we can relate to that will help us in our time of need, to be encouraged to trust you more, to grow closer to you. Father, use us for your glory, even in our difficulties. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.